Well, good morning, and welcome to the broadcast. This is Elder David Scarborough. I'm the pastor of the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located on West Peach Street in Martin. I'd like to extend a special invitation to each of you to join us at Macedonia Church. We'll meet for worship every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., and all ages meet together in the sanctuary. We begin our services with congregational singing and prayer, and then we have the proclamation of God's Word. And as always, when we preach, we do our best to emphasize the finished work of Christ. Now, normally we have lunch together after our service on third Sunday, but that's been moved to next Sunday for this month. So please come and visit with us if you can. We would be honored to have you as our guest. Let us go to the Lord in word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you and we praise you for this Lord's Day and for the freedom that we have to come together and to look into a portion of your word. We ask, Father, that you would bless our time today, that our message may be honoring to your name, and that you'd be glorified in all that we do and all that we say. We ask, Father, that you'd remember the sick and afflicted among us. We also pray, Father, that you'd pour out your blessings upon us, upon your people, and upon your church, and upon this nation. Please continue to bear with us, Father, and be merciful to us, and forgive us where we fail thee. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things, and for his sake, amen. Well, last week I tried to share some thoughts with you on the finished work of Christ and how eternal salvation works. Now, I know that that's one of those topics that all of God's children are interested in. You know, they think about it, they talk about it, and oftentimes they wonder or worry about who might or might not go and so forth. So it's good for us to have a clear understanding about how eternal salvation works. Now, when you understand it, it becomes a very comforting doctrine. And as I shared last week, it works exactly the same way for all of God's children because of the finished work of Christ. So regardless of how old they are, or where they are, or what they know, or even don't know, when God is ready for them to be a new creature, he simply makes them one. Well, today I'm going to try to share a few thoughts about that. The doctrine of the new creature. So, what exactly is a new creature? Now, as with most biblical doctrines, there seems to be a lot of different teachings out there about, well, what it is and what it isn't, and many of them don't seem to meet up with what Scripture says. So, what do we mean by a new creature? Well, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." So basically, when we talk about a new creature, all we're talking about is someone who has already been placed in Christ. Now, that means that they are already saved and are bound for heaven. Now, again, if you're wondering about how that happens, well, go to our website at www.martinpbc.org. and click on the Joyful Sound link, and then listen to last week's broadcast, because, well, that's what we tried to cover last week. But this week, I hope we can get a better understanding of this new creature. So, Paul said, if you are in Christ, well, then that's exactly what you are. You are a new creature. But he goes on to say that old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, at this point, some try to teach that once you have become a new creature, well, you are no longer the same old creature, because Paul said that old things are passed away and all things are become new. But if you continue reading, Paul explains exactly what he means by this statement. He said, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." To wit, or to know, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, Paul is telling us three things. First, because of what Christ has done, we are no longer God's enemies. Second, we are no longer limited in our knowledge or our learning ability to just natural things. Now, we can now know, and that's what the words to wit mean. We can know that Christ has died for us and that we have been reconciled to God by Him. And then finally, notice that He has committed or entrusted us with that word or message about this reconciliation. So then, now that we are new creatures, we have a new friend, a new learning capacity, and a new mission. Now, Paul explains this concept in more detail in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Starting in verse 14, he said, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So one of the important aspects of this newness is that we now have the ability to see and to judge or to understand spiritual things. So now that we have this ability, how should that change the way we live our lives? Well, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2 and 10 that we are His workmanship, created in Christ unto good works. In Ephesians 4 and 1, he said that we should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So, as a new creature, with a new ability to judge or to understand spiritual things, well, we should do these good works that we were created for. We should walk in a way that is worthy of or in accordance with this new calling. So, the next question is, well, how exactly do we do that? Well, in Romans 2 and 14, the Apostle Paul tells us about some Gentiles who were doing these things, even though no one had ever told them exactly what to do. He said, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves." So they were behaving in the right way, even though no one had ever instructed them in the law. Well, then he said in verse 15 that this shows the work of the law written in their hearts. And he also said their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In other words, even though they had never been formally instructed in what to do, well, they were still behaving in the right way. And why was that? Well, it was because they had this new inward knowledge or work that had been written in their hearts. Their own consciences would either accuse them or excuse them about their own actions. So these new creatures had been equipped internally with the ability to know the difference between right and wrong, between good and bad. And if you are a child of God, well, you too have this ability in you already, because that's what it means to be a new creature. Now, again, this is another point where people tend to go into the extremes, and they forget what the Apostle Paul actually said about our human condition. Now, some try and teach that if you are a child of God, well, then you will no longer sin. You will no longer do the things that you once did. And if, by some chance, you slip up, well, their conclusion is you just must not be a child of God after all. But if that were the case, then I think we'd have to count that the Apostle Paul himself was a non-Christian. In 1 Timothy 1 and 15, Paul said to Timothy, and to us, that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Now, notice that Paul didn't say that he used to be the chief or that he was the chief, but now still was, even while he was writing this particular piece of holy inspired scripture. Now, some will say that even though Paul still thought of himself as a sinner, well, it didn't really mean he committed sin. But in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul gives us a little more detail about his current human condition. Beginning in verse 18, he said, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Now, again, notice that he wasn't talking about himself in the past tense. So even then, while he was writing this Roman letter, he still struggled with sin. Well, in the next verse, Paul tells us exactly what it was that continued to plague him. He said, "Now, if I do that I would not, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." So while he was already a new creature and possessed a new inward nature, well, he also still possessed that old nature and all of his old ways. Because as long as we are still alive in the flesh, well, that's exactly what we have. We continue to drag it around in these old mortal bodies. And that's our human experience, our human condition. That's the fight that's within each of us as new creatures. And we'll continue to struggle against it until the day we die. So while some might have you to think that you're not a Christian if you slip up, well, Paul just says that you're fighting with your old self. You're still carrying around that old nature that you inherited from your great-great-grandfather Adam. However, even though that's the case, we shouldn't use it as an excuse to sin. Now, I've also heard some people go to this extreme, and they do that very thing. They use the old nature as an excuse for continuing to live their sinful and immoral lifestyle. But again, that is contrary to what Scripture teaches. At the beginning of the 6th chapter, Paul asked us the question, "Well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound?" And then he immediately answers with a resounding, "God forbid." You see, as a child of God with a new inward knowledge of what our Lord would have us to do, well, we should be doing all we can to overcome that old nature. You should try to subdue him, try to hold him back, and even when you fail, you shouldn't give up. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 21, Paul said, "I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." And then he gives us one final cry about his current human condition. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And if that were the end, oh, that would be a very hopeless condition. But that was not the end. After the inward man, Paul gives us the answer to his cry. He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord," period. So what exactly does it mean to be a new creature? Well, it's just another way of saying that you are already a child of God. Now, it's not someone who is sinless or perfect, but someone who recognizes the struggle that they have with sin in their own lives. You see, someone who's not a new creature doesn't care about right or wrong, good or bad. They never even consider it. But a new creature has to battle with his own conscience every day. It'll excuse you when you do right, but it'll also accuse you when you do wrong. Well, I hope that I've been able to share some things with you this morning that will bring you peace and comfort as you go into your week. And as you think on these things, you can draw strength from these things, knowing that while at times we may stumble and fall, just know that you're in good company with the likes of the Apostle Paul. And just like him, if there's deliverance to be had, it will only be found at the hands of Christ. Also, just a reminder, if you haven't done so lately, please visit our website at www.martinpbc.org. Now, once there, you can learn more about the Macedonia Church and about the people who go by the name of Primitive Baptist. Also, while you're there, if you'll click on the On the Radio link on the left-hand side of the screen, well, there you'll find an archive of past broadcasts and information on how you can send us a note. And if you have time this week, please do that. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a topic in mind that you'd like to hear discussed, well, let us know and send us a note, and we'll try to cover that in an upcoming broadcast. And also, just a reminder, Macedonia Church meets every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. And while we normally have lunch after our service on third Sunday, well, that's been moved until next Sunday for this month. So, until next week at this same time, may you rest in the finished work of Christ. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.